Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur, and I'm your host, John Naster. Thank you so much for joining me. Depending on when you're listening to this, but I'm recording and publishing this second week of March, March 11th-ish, 2020, and it's been a wild, wild week. This episode almost didn't come out this week because of there's just been turmoil and uncertainty and people hoarding toilet paper. And there's a full-blown pandemic, apparently, on our hands at this point. So it's been interesting. I think this episode, though, will be, it'll give you some relief from that 24-hour news cycle. And also, maybe, like it did for my guest, maybe it will just spark something in you that will set you on the path to doing what it is you want to do once we get some certainty back in this world of ours. All right, without further ado, let's get into it. After nearly two decades in the corporate world of strategic branding and marketing, my guest found herself without a job, but she had 1 year's salary to keep her afloat. So like any burgeoning entrepreneur would do, she set out on the path to figuring out how to start a business that would enable her to travel, work from anywhere, and become location independent. So after several failed ideas, she discovered Amazon's fulfillment program. Whether you've heard of it or not, it's called FBA, and it allows you to sell physical products, and Amazon stores them and ships them for you. So as soon as she found this, she instantly knew it was the opportunity she'd been looking for. Now, 7 years and over $16 million in physical products sold on Amazon, Kirsty is also the co-founder of Real Coaching, where she's helped and coached over 1,000 Amazon business owners. Now, let's hack Kirsty Verity. When it comes to marketing your business, it all comes down to finding the right audience and connecting with the right message. If you're working within the business-to-business space, then there's no better place to find your target audience than on LinkedIn. Because every day, over 500 million professionals engage with content on LinkedIn. And chances are, your future customers are among them. LinkedIn's proven marketing tools can help you target your customers with precision, right down to their job title, company name, and industry. And the best part is, there's no better time than right now to try LinkedIn marketing for you and your business. To redeem a free $100 LinkedIn ad credit, go to linkedin.com/hack. For your free $100 ad credit to get started today. Some terms and conditions may apply, but go right now to linkedin.com/hack to get started. I want you to think back. Do you remember when you started your small business? It was no small feat, was it? No, it took a lot of late nights, early mornings, and the occasional all-nighter. Bottom line, you've been insanely busy ever since. So why not make things a little easier on yourself? Well, our friends at FreshBooks are going to help you out, and they have the solution. FreshBooks invoicing and accounting software is designed specifically for small business owners. It's simple, intuitive, and keeps you way more organized than that dusty shoebox filled with crumpled receipts. Create and send professional-looking invoices in 30 seconds, and then get paid 2 times faster with automated online payments. You can file expenses even quicker, and you'll keep them perfectly organized for tax time. The best part of all this? FreshBooks grows alongside your business, so you'll always have the tools you need when you need them, without ever having to learn the ins and outs of accounting. Join the 24 million people who have used FreshBooks. Try it for free for 30 days. No catch, no credit card required. Go to freshbooks.com/hack and enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Once again, freshbooks.com/hack. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very special guest. Kirsty, welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely my pleasure. I'm looking forward to this conversation. And so let's just jump straight into it.
Sure.
Kirsty, let's start here. As an entrepreneur, can you tell me What is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Wow, that's a big question. I think the one thing is focus. So, and the reason I say that is that when I'm not focused, that's when I go into kind of an array of overwhelm and I'm anxious about what I'm doing. And so just really honing in on one or two key things that are going to give me the biggest result. So one thing that I'm really focused on is to understand in my business and also in my personal life as well, what is the biggest thing that I can do that's going to have the biggest impact in terms of dollars in the bank, but also in terms of my time as well, because that's kind of like the reason why I became an entrepreneur was it was more time-based than money-based, if that makes sense. I really wanted to get some time back in my life. And I wanted to have time on my own terms versus being dictated to by anyone else. So when I feel overwhelmed, it's because usually I'm spending my time on the wrong things.
Right. How do you or how have you gotten to the point where you can clearly and accurately define what it is you should be doing?
Well, what I do is I look at all the things that I could be doing. So I generally start with actually what my core goal is. So I know a lot of people might talk about, you know, what do you want to be doing in 3, 5, 10 years time, which is all cool. But to me, that's not really that tangible. It's great to understand, yeah, you know, in 3 years time, I want to be hanging out more on the beach, etc. But essentially, you need to be able to put some financial goals around that and also some time goals around that. So I like to work in 12-month goals. So kind of set the vision for the future, but then go, okay, realistically, where do I want to be able to hit that 3-year kind of long-term goal? Where do I want to be in the next 12 months? So I actually sit down and think about what I call a SMART goal. Now, that's not a new concept. I didn't actually make that up. I actually learned that in my corporate days. But essentially, a SMART goal is something that's specific, it's measurable, it's attainable. So it's there in the future that you feel like you can do it. It's also time-bound and it's also relevant. So what that means is it's relevant to my personal lifestyle. So when I write a SMART goal, it's not just, hey, I want to hit $1 million by the end of the year. It's, I want to achieve X amount of income from my business that will allow me to do maybe travel the world or do specific things in my life that I want to achieve that year. So I start with that goal. And then essentially what I do is I kind of chunk it down into 90-day sprints. So kind of think, okay, well, that's great. But what do I need to do in my next 90 days that's going to allow me to essentially hit that 12-month plan? So it's probably a discipline that I learned when I was in my corporate days, which I hated when I was in corporate. But actually putting that into practice in my own business just helped reduce all the key stuff that I thought I should be doing. So being able to hit that goal, I'm like, okay, what are the key things that I need to do to hit that goal? And then I'm able to kind of get rid of all the shiny objects, you know, all that stuff that jumps into your inbox that goes, hey, buy me because this is the next thing you need to do, either to grow my Amazon business or to grow my coaching business. And I, of course, I still do get overwhelmed, but I always keep coming back to either my 90-day goals and then taking those 90-day goals and breaking them down into what am I going to do tomorrow? So sounds like a long process, but once you kind of get into that groove of it, for some, you just feel a lot freer. You just feel like, great, I did what I needed to do today. And I've got the rest of the day free to essentially do all the cool stuff that I want to do in my life, as opposed to just feeling like you're grinding all the time in the business.
Exactly. Exactly. Like SMART goals, is there anything else that in your corporate days you just dreaded, but now that you are running your own businesses, you're actually like, That actually is very useful.
Yeah, numbers. I hated it. I'm really more of a creative brain. So I was in corporate marketing. So my role was brand development. So what I loved doing in that job was all the kind of cool concept creation around, hey, how are we going to like target the customer? But what I hated was the fact that I had to do my numbers every month and I actually had to hit sales targets. So I had to also be commercial as well as being esoteric around the brand itself. So, but in my business, that's really, really important because at the end of the day, it's awesome that you can create some great concepts and maybe you're really good at creating social media, etc. But if you're not actually putting money back in your pocket and you're spending all your money on advertising or you're spending all your money on just random stuff that's not actually going to bring you sales. And understanding that, which is actually a core problem for a lot of people that do start the kind of business that I'm in, which is Amazon, then you don't understand where your money's going and you don't understand, you're not actually achieving the goal that you set in the first place. So I'm really good at spreadsheets now. And I love a good spreadsheet. To me, it's like a painting because I'm like, if I feel overwhelmed, I get back to that focus and I look at the numbers and I'm like, okay, I'm kind of on track. I didn't really kind of go where I thought I was going to go, but the numbers are kind of speaking to me. And also understanding their metrics more as well. So sometimes the numbers can feel overwhelming for people because they're doing so much stuff, so they're not able to track everything. So that's why it helps when you've got only maybe one or two key things, two key projects that you're working on at any one time. And then you go deep on the metrics surrounding those so that you know what's working and what's not working. It really paints like a clearer picture of how you're going to attain the goal.
Commercial as well as creative.
Like
having to bridge those two worlds.
No, and I hated it. So, but I kind of got good at it in corporate because I needed to. It was my favorite thing to do. But I knew that if I kind of got good at that side, then I would be able to do more of the creative stuff because you got more cash to be able to spend on your brands. So even though the structure in the corporate world is still some kind of negotiation that goes on because you have to fight for your brands and the money within the company, and then you can show how you can grow your brands versus everyone else. So getting good at that stuff and understanding that actually that can be creative was a light bulb moment for me in corporate and also in my own business as well.
So in brand development within the corporate world, I think we think of it as like just billboards and things that are like not directly measurable. And it seems sometimes like obviously billion-dollar corporations, they're kind of okay with that. Like Coca-Cola doesn't need everything to directly result in a sale. But when you are selling on Amazon, especially getting started, like how differently do you have to think about branding from the beginning?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. For me, branding on Amazon is more about differentiating yourself within the platform. So a lot of people think, you know what, and a lot of courses out there teach, get a great product, whack it up on Amazon, and happy days, you're going to start selling products, which can work to a certain extent. But then as you start to then build out the business, if you don't have something that kind of encapsulates those products, then it actually leads to a lot of that overwhelm that we were talking about earlier. So for me, branding on Amazon is about really focus, understanding who do you want to serve first, because that's going to really direct you to what kind of products that you should be selling on Amazon. And then the differentiation on Amazon itself. So for instance, like you type in, you know, if when you shop on Amazon, you'll type in a search term, what we call a search term, but it's basically what you want to type in to find a product that you want to buy. And as a customer, what you're doing is you're just kind of scanning that first page, but like what we do in Google, right? And basically as a customer, what you're doing is you haven't got a lot of time. You're looking for the thing that jumps out at you. You're looking for the thing that is going to speak to you more than say a generic product. So I always kind of align it to if you're going into a supermarket or you're going into a retail store, you go to the aisle section of the product that you want to buy. And then as a customer, you're kind of drawn to the packaging. Unless you've got a specific product in mind, you're drawn to the packaging that speaks to you the best. And that's what we're trying to do on Amazon. We're trying to create that moment. It's just virtual or it's on an e-commerce platform. So the branding itself needs to speak to the customer. And then the way that you build your listings on Amazon is the same thing. You want to connect directly to who that customer is. So for instance, there's bullet points, what we call the bullet points, right? So the features and benefits. And so from a brand perspective, what we're trying to do is not just focus on the feature of the product that we're trying to sell. We're actually focused on the benefit that it's going to give to the customer. And actually making that switch from selling on Amazon, just putting products up there and hoping they're going to sell, to actually focused on what we call an ideal client or the ideal customer. And you write your copy, your images directly to that customer. You're kind of niching down on that customer within Amazon. And the conversion rate on that listing, it can be make or break in the business. So a lot of people really focus on what we call driving traffic. So ads to the page, et cetera, which is still important. But it's if you haven't got a great conversion rate, i.e. people actually wanting to buy the thing, then you're leaving a lot of money on the table. So it's something that I really focus on my business that was a game changer, and also that we focus on when we're coaching people as well, because we can work with people. And again, going back to the metrics, we look at their metrics. They might have great people coming, you know, a lot of what we call sessions, a lot of people looking at the listing, but the conversion rate could be around 5%. Well, we know we can get conversion rates up to like 30, 40% just by focusing in on speaking to the customer in the right way.
And if we go back to this like analogy of comparing that first page of your Amazon results to the supermarket shelf, you know, like what you know, you want soup. So you go to the soup aisle and then it's what you're picking. But like, I mean, the psychology of it and the business side of it is that people do pay to be at eye level. People, yeah. Like there's certain things that get you to the place where it's easier to be seen than not. Are ads on Amazon, is that placement in that sense, or are there other ways to place yourself in the right spot?
Yeah, you can definitely use ads. There's also using keywords. So being able to have the most relevant keywords to that customer as well helps you rank on Amazon. So the more relevant keywords that you have in the listing, it's a bit like if you want to rank on Google, but it has to be relevant. So it's not just any kind of what we call keyword stuffing, which is you're just going to ram a load of keywords in there and hope that someone somewhere is going to buy it. It's about having the most relevant keywords, which again comes back to the branding and the ideal client, which helps you push you up the rankings. And then of course, sales themselves in terms of what we call sales velocity. The more you sell, then the more likely it is that you're going to what we call rank for those listings in the right spot. And that's really what we're after on Amazon. So we want to be as attractive as possible. So that's why the listing needs to look good and connect with the customer. And then we also want to have the most relevant keywords in our listing and then the most relevant keywords in our advertising. And then you can pay for placement. So essentially, if as a customer, you type in that keyword, you're going to look at the most pretty much above the line on the page one search results. And that's where we want to be as an Amazon listing.
Right, which is exactly like you said, with Google and just your website or articles in general or your products, if they're not on the first page, they basically don't exist. Definitely. In the searcher's eyes.
Yeah.
Just how it is. Unless you really, really want something, then you'll go deep into an Amazon search, but...
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, in terms of ads, you can definitely spend a lot of money on ads. But again, if the listing itself doesn't talk to the customer, the conversion rate is going to be lower. So you're kind of wasting money on the ad placement until you've got that conversion rate dialed in, until you're really, you know, speaking to the customer.
So again, corporate marketing director for, I believe, almost 20 years, if not, into selling millions of dollars in products on Amazon. How does it happen and how quickly does that transition happen?
Yeah, so I think I loved my job as I started to kind of grow up with it, with my career. I loved, like I said before, the creative side of it. Where I started to get jaded was, it was probably about 15 years in, so it's still quite a long time. I mean, I moved from, if you can't tell, I'm English, I'm British. I moved from the UK to Australia. I did a lot of travel in that time as well. And I just loved traveling. I loved that freedom of just being able to go where I wanted to go at any point. And I had this dream of, I just wanted to be able to do that on a regular basis, whether that be in 6 month sabbaticals or 3 month sabbaticals, whatever that was. And so I had this in my mind when I moved to Australia. But Australia is an awesome place. You kind of feel like that anyway when you're there, which is great. But yeah, around 5 years of me being in Australia and I was working for the same company, just getting through the bureaucracy and essentially the crap of what you need to get done based on other people's objectives, it just really started to wane on me. And I was like, okay, I just remember being in a board meeting and just thinking, am I really going to do this until I'm like 60? What am I going to do? I've never really had a direct plan in terms of a career plan. I've just kind of fallen into stuff and then I've got kind of promoted along the way based on what projects were coming up. So I hadn't really thought that through. And then I just suddenly sat there and went, I don't think I'm going to be able to do this. I really feel constricted and trapped. So I really just started to look into, okay, well, what's going to give me that freedom that I wanted to experience? I did a lot of things in the meantime, though. Like I had loads of courses. I spent about $60,000 on courses, which I never really did anything with. I kind of started them, but didn't really get anywhere. So real estate, which just didn't really float my boat, share trading, building a business on eBay, which was kind of closer to where I wanted to be, but you still had to have warehouses. Like eBay isn't like Amazon, where Amazon kind of do all that for you. You have to have your own warehousing and work all that out. Then I thought, well, okay, well, maybe if I can think about just websites. So I started to look into that. But then there's a lot of traffic that you have to drive to the website. The conversion rates on there are really low. If you're doing really well, if you're getting like a 3% conversion rate on products or information products. So then just going through all that process and being on someone's list somewhere, I'm sure a lot of people have experienced this. Something came through there about a course and selling on Amazon. And it was like all the things just kind of fell into place. It was like ching, ching, ching. All the kind of issues I saw with the other paths were kind of solved by the Amazon business. So Amazon FBA do all the hard work. You basically can brand a product, private label it, which it's called. You essentially find a supplier, private label it, and then send it to Amazon. And Amazon, you just basically put your listing there, and then Amazon do all the heavy lifting in terms of getting it to the customer. And I was like, brilliant. This is the thing that's kind of going to get me to where I need to be. So what I did was I started the course and I was like, this is going to work. I just felt like it was going to work. And at the time, there was kind of like a few movements within my career, and the company that I was in at the time wanted me to actually move to, say, another country. So like Singapore, for instance. And I was like, well, I definitely don't want to go there. I love Singapore, but I didn't want to kind of like go on that journey of new career, new role, etc. So what I managed to do was actually negotiate what we call a redundancy, which I think it's like a severance in the US, which was a year's salary. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. So I took that, I took the money and ran, basically, literally. I went to Bali to focus in on the course, understand the business. And I gave myself like a goal of once I hit $10,000 per month, I'm going to leave Bali and go back to Australia. And the reason I did that was because, I mean, number one, I was single, which also helps, right? I didn't have any kids. So, you know, it's not like I left the whole family behind or anything. But I didn't want any distractions. I was like, this is the thing that's going to work. If it's going to work, I need to literally focus, as I said earlier, and get this done. And I want to also prove that I can do this remotely. Like I can go anywhere and do this at anywhere. So that's what I did. And then within like 2.5 months, I'd hit that goal. And I was like, whoa, happy days. This is working. And I just went from there, added more products. I then also expanded into other marketplaces like the UK and Europe. So I first started off in the US platform, Amazon.com. And then I think because I wasn't bound by any geography. So at the time, there was no Amazon platform where I was living. So I didn't have any kind of mindset limitations around I need to sell where I live, which a lot of Amazon sellers or people that start an Amazon business feel like, you know, that if they're based in the US, they feel like, oh, it's too scary to go anywhere else. But it's actually not. It's just a case of you just need to understand the rules in that country, get set up for it, and essentially launch into those marketplaces. So my strategy was, again, less is more. So have the same product, but launch it in different marketplaces, because I'm going to get more bang for my buck when it comes to actually the supply chain, because essentially I'm going to be able to have the same product, get lots more volume, reduce my prices so I can be more competitive. So that's kind of like the strategy that I employed. And I was able to grow a lot quicker that way than, say, just focusing in on one marketplace. But the customer, and people, it's funny, I think people also have this limitation. They feel that customers are very different across different marketplaces. And essentially, they're not. The insights are very much that if you're working in Western countries, right, or first world countries, the attitudes, beliefs, they're very much the same. You just need to kind of translate it and make sure that it's in the right vernacular or the right language. But apart from that, every beliefs and things that they enjoy doing and things that they believe in are pretty much the same. So again, I understood that from my corporate days. So just being able to take that, all that great knowledge, and sometimes, like I said, it was a pain in the bum. But really being able to apply that to my Amazon business, I think just allowed me to kind of explode it. And the reason I ended up coaching people was because they really hadn't had that exposure or that background. And so we're kind of spinning their wheels a lot in terms of how am I going to scale this thing? I had some success maybe with one product, but they hadn't really worked out how they were going to grow the business. And so being able to put those things in place for people just allowed us to really help a lot of people do the same thing.
Do you remember what course you took?
Yep, the course was The Amazing Selling Machine.
Whoa.
Yes. So it's a course, a lot of people have gone through that course right now. I think they're up to like 20,000 people that have been through the course. And interestingly as well, because I was one of the first people that, it was their first intake, if you like. You know, they just launched the course and I went through that. And then since then, we've also created another course, which is it's a course in terms of scaling a business for Amazing Selling Machine. I mean, the company is called amazing.com. Their first course is Amazing Selling Machine. And then we also created a course for them last year called Amazing Accelerators, which is kind of weird when you think about where you start and then where you could end up. I mean, I never thought that when I took that course, that's kind of the path also that it would take me on as well. So I think that's also interesting in entrepreneurship. If you're open to possibilities and opportunities, and it just, you know, I remember going to a seminar and someone saying to me, yeah, you know, someone who you're sat next to, you could be in business with them next year or something. And I was like, what? I don't even know this person. How am I ever going to do that? Right. It just felt so far away. But it's true. If you're open to those things and network, just with any business, I think if you're starting on your own, it can be quite lonely at times, especially if you're doing e-commerce. Because a lot of the time you're just sat at your laptop boshing things out, what I call boshing, like kind of, you know, making sure you're getting stuff out there. And it can be quite isolating in some respects. So I think getting out there and networking with people, and you just don't know where it's going to lead to.
Right. That's very true. I mean, just I think taking action on things in general, right? The thing we're taking action on today isn't what we're really trying to accomplish. It's somewhere further down the line. And typically that ends up somewhere different than we expect.
Yeah.
But you have to start.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's a key thing. It was, like I said earlier, I spent $60,000 on courses that didn't get me to where I wanted to go, but they got me further along the way. So I think don't ever think that if you're doing one thing that it has to all pan out exactly how you feel like it was going to do. It will get you so far and then it will take you in a different direction. But as long as you understand what the goal is, you're able to kind of navigate those waters, I think, better, and be true to what you actually want to create. So for me at that point, my SMART goal was, in fact, actually when I first started, wasn't that sophisticated. I had a vision board and what I wanted to do was wanted to travel. I wanted to follow the sun around the world. I wanted to work from a laptop, whatever that meant. And I wanted to have enough money to replace my salary at that point. That was kind of the vision that I had. And doing some of the courses that I did just didn't lead me on that path. So I knew that it wasn't the right way to go. So I suppose some people might call it that their why or their vision or their vivid vision for themselves. But I think it's really important to understand what it is for you, because it's going to lead, that's going to lead you on the right, you're going to make the right decisions along the way, and you're going to stop doing things if it's not serving you, even though you haven't got to the monetary goal, for instance, that you're aiming for.
Right, exactly. So as of today, it's 2020, it's March, I believe, depending on when people are listening. How does your, whether that's split up during the day or week or biweekly, whatever it is, but how are you separating your attention? You told us how you focus your intention, but how are you separating whether working on the Amazon business or the coaching side?
Yeah, so my Amazon business now, so I've scaled it to a point where I also have a team working with me. So I have a brand manager that pretty much takes care of the day-to-day stuff that I was doing. So I really only, so my Amazon business, apart from refreshing my sales, I really only spend, I would say maybe 2 hours a week just making sure that everything is moving forward. So that would be like a work in progress meeting with my brand manager, who then would kind of disseminate out what we need to do with the rest of the team. And then my focus is more literally on the coaching side, because we're scaling that at this point because we want to help more people and understand that more. So I would spend, I would say a good, probably 4 to 5 hours a day, depending on what we're creating. So with coaching, for instance, and it's a different ball game, because what we're trying to do is kind of raise awareness, you know, that brand awareness, like you were talking about earlier. So that might include video creation and things like that. So And we've also got our own podcast. So we just launched that at the moment. So that's going to take up more physical time. So that's the kind of things that I'm spending my time on and the strategic direction of the coaching business. So maybe 4 or 5 hours a day, depending on what I'm doing. But this week, for instance, I'm actually traveling. I'm in Santa Fe. My husband's at a conference. He's a scientist. And so I was like, yeah, cool. I'll just come with you. So I will do what I need to do today. But then I've got time then to spend exploring the area this week. But I will make sure that I've got that planned in and I will literally put into my diary, okay, I'm going to spend an hour on this, 30 minutes on this. Maybe I need to spend 3 hours on this thing and plan it out into my schedule. And then I also plan in kind of cool fun time as well. So having that, not really vision, but it's more, you understand exactly what you need to be doing for the month and you know where you're going to go and planning in, even, you know, having to pick up the kids from school or whatever those core things are that literally take you away from the business. It's always good to be very aware of them and actually put them in your calendar. I call it your diary, because you know that they're going to be there, right? Versus, oh, why didn't I get anything done today? Oh, because I had to pick the kids up. I had to do the shopping or whatever that is, all these kind of things that kind of get in your way. So that's how I do it. I plan out, okay, on my Amazon side, this is what I'm working on. I only need to spend X amount of time this week. And then on my coaching side, I know I need to spend more time on that because I'm nurturing that business more.
Are you limiting the amount of hours you're working?
Yeah. Yes. So
it sounds like you're like half hour here, you must know like, okay, I work 36 hours or 46 hours, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah. Because I'm a bit time obsessed, as you can probably tell.
Yeah.
I think probably because I felt like I was restricted a lot in my career. And so I've got a good idea about how much time it's going to take me to do things. And so that's why I plan it out that way. Because for me, it makes me feel like more accomplished. It makes me feel like, yeah, I did what I said I was going to do. I got it done. Usually as well, when I've planned it in, I do it a lot quicker than what I expected because I'm focused. So I'll turn everything off, turn all my notifications off. I use an app called Brain FM, which I've got no idea if it's actually literally been tested, but it works for me. It's kind of cool music that gets you zoned in on where you are. And then I like to go in different environments. So I love a good old coffee shop. So I'll go and sit in there and put my Brain FM on or whatever music I'm listening to and zone in on what I'm actually doing. And then sometimes what's a good trick is if you take your laptop and you've only got like 2 hours of battery life, then, you know, if you go to a cafe, you have to leave, right? Because, you know, you're going to lose battery time. So yeah, I like to plan it out because for me, leisure time is just as important, whether that's going to the gym, whether that's actual thinking time, whether that's hiking, whatever you want to do. You plan that in as well because it's going to help you. I think, you know, a bit like when you sleep and your brain is kind of storing all the memory that you had that day. I feel like when you do that in a day as well, and consciously versus unconsciously, that you get clear, even more clarity as you move through the business and what you're supposed to be doing and what you're not supposed to be doing.
I love it. I love it. Brain FM, and I agree, it works really, really well. And I don't know if it's true, the scientific basis of it.
Yeah.
But it feels like it does.
Exactly. And that's what it's all about, right? It doesn't really matter if it's actually true or not, but if it's true for you, then
we're good to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. All right, Kirsty. Well, this has been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed this. I would love to wrap up on one final question for you, if I could.
Yeah.
So I've been working with this idea. I've interviewed like 500 people at this point, I think. And I've been working with this idea that entrepreneurs, dreamers, creatives, as we are, it seems like we're always sort of projecting our own successes and our business successes into the future. So no matter what we accomplish, whether it's like standing on that stage or hitting that sales metric, the second before we hit that, you and I both know we're just going to set bigger, loftier goals into the future. I know we need those goals and I know we need to push ahead. But rather than doing that for the next couple of minutes, I would love it if you could stop and turn around and look behind you. We've talked about sort of your journey in the last half hour, but we obviously haven't got to all the highs, lows, wins, and losses. But could you tell me, Kirsty, rather than looking forward, just tell me, how do you feel about this entire journey up until today?
Yeah, how do I feel about it? I'm amazed by it, actually. because just having that kind of desire to do something different. And I did spend a lot of time, not in fear, well, maybe it was fear, but thinking I couldn't do it, right? Or thinking, what if it all goes wrong? And the biggest kind of, I suppose, something that someone said to me was, what you're going to feel like is that if you jump off the cliff, you're going to jump off the cliff and not realize that you've actually got some wings. But once you've jumped, you'll find the wings. And so even now, like you said, I'm not where ultimately I, in terms of, you know, being financially free and all that stuff. But I think the key thing that has helped me to worry about that as much is knowing that, right? Knowing that something's going to come along. I'm going to feel like it's a great opportunity, even if I don't understand it. So for instance, I'm going to actually try my hand at stand-up comedy, which I have no idea how I'm going to do that. But I'll just think, oh, whatever, who cares? Somebody's going to laugh at me. It doesn't really matter. But yeah, having just thinking that if you step off the cliff, you're going to get some wings in some way, shape or form. And also just feeling that you should have that fun along the way, because I think sometimes we can spend so much time in areas of our lives, whether that's work, whether it's relationships or whatever it is, because we feel like we need to, as opposed to actually, I'm not having any fun anymore. So if I'm not having fun, so for my Amazon business, if I'm not having fun anymore, then I'll sell it and do something different, right? And I don't feel like my journey is even going to be where I am right now. Like ultimately, I have no idea what it's going to be, but I just feel that it will appear at the right time, and I'm just going to follow what I need to follow. So I'm not sure if that answers the question, but I think, yeah, I'm kind of amazed I've got to where I am, because at the time, all I was really focused on was just replacing my salary. And that happened pretty quickly. And I felt like that was going to take a long time. I never thought I'd be coaching. I never thought I'd be talking to you on this podcast. I never thought I'd be doing stand-up comedy. So I never thought and I've also got married along the journey, because I met him in Toronto. So now I've moved to Canada. I never thought I'd move to Canada, especially because it's snow there all the time. Yeah.
Where do you live?
In Montreal.
Oh, nice. I live in Toronto. So I'm...
Oh, right. I'm down to Montreal, so that's... So yeah, my dream was to travel the world following the sun. And then I've ended up in a place that's sunny like a few months of the year. I'm like, what? So yeah, but I'm, I think it's more, and I know everybody says this, enjoy the journey. Sometimes you don't realize that that's what you're doing along the way. So did that answer your question?
Yes, absolutely it did. Absolutely it did. I loved it. Okay, Kirsty, so we've talked about your business and what you do throughout this. Can you now tell the listener where they can track you down online and what you guys can do at Team Real for them?
Yeah, sure. So you can find us at www.goteamreal.com. We've got some free training on there on how to get started on your Amazon business journey. You can also email me at kirsty@goteamreal.com. If you've got any questions about, you're thinking about starting the business, a lot of people ask us how much money it takes to start, that type of thing. I mean, we recommend you have at least $5,000, $5,000 to $10,000 to start the business. So it's very much a low, considering all the other business opportunities that you can do, it's a low financed option. And then you can hit me up on social media. I'm just Kirsty Verity everywhere, essentially. So Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram, whichever floats your boat. But yeah, we're really focused on helping people build their Amazon business in the simplest way possible with the least amount of overwhelm, and also the most amount of cash back in your pocket. So that's what we really focus on, because in this industry, there's a lot of so-called gurus that will tell you, you know, you can do $1 million a month on Amazon. It's very hypey, right? And that really hits me to my core, because it doesn't really matter if you're doing $1 million a month or $1,000 a month. It's about your journey. It's about what you want out of your life. To have a business that's doing $11 million a year, you're going to need a big team. You're going to need a lot of money. You're going to need all that good stuff, right? And if that's your path, happy days, you go on that path. If your path is you want some extra income every month, then it's a very different story about how you start that business and how much you need to start the business. So that's what we're focused on, is kind of, number one, reducing all that kind of hype, if you like, but also making sure that you're doing the right things for you for your goals in the business.
Yes. GoTeamReal.com is the main website, all the social medias. If you head over once you're done listening to this or working out, walking, jogging, whatever it is you're doing, hacktheentrepreneur.com, I will put Kirsty's episode over there and we'll link to all of this stuff as well. If you're just having trouble concentrating right now, you can go to brain.fm. That's what we've been talking about and see if it scientifically or not helps you, but it seems to help Kirsty and I.
Yeah.
So there's that. So yeah, once again, goteamreal.com. You can track her down. And I believe Kirsty said her email as well. So you can always just email her if you have any questions. So Kirsty, thanks so much for stopping by. Thanks for sharing so openly. I truly, truly appreciate it. And just keep doing what you're doing because it is awesome to watch.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me on, John. I'm looking forward to listening to it.
All right. So I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I enjoyed being part of it. Kirsty, really, really smart lady. And she found what she wanted to do or what would provide her with what she wanted to do with her life. And Amazon seemed to be the place for her. That's a fascinating world. I don't sell things on Amazon besides the book, but there's tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people making businesses and building businesses by selling products on Amazon. Kirsty does help people do that. GoTeamReal.com is the website, as well as I'll find some social media of hers and also a link to that course that she took originally. Not that you need the course to do this, but if you were interested, I will drop the link for you back on the website, hacktheentrepreneur.com, for whenever it is you are ready to check it out. All right. So again, it's that second week in March still. And I just hope that you stay safe. I just hope everything stays okay for you, wherever you happen to be. We will get through this and everything will go back to normal, I'm sure. But anyways, until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.